Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bada Hadi Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bada Dagudhi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bada Dhaudi Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bada Hagudi Asuna Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Shishoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhidhakacharya also Tera Siddhashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalananda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nath Shyam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuradam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur All glories the assembled devotees All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. So, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budle Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nirvashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Omagana Tivananda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful, humble obeisances at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're going to continue with our study of Bhagavad Gita, and we're getting very close to the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Today we're going to start with the 58th text in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is pretty close to ending the study of the Bhagavad Gita. So I don't think today, but probably tomorrow or the next day, we'll be ending. So let's start, and perfection of renunciation, last chapter, conclusion. Okay, so here we go, Machita Saradurgani Matprasada Tarishyasi Atachetvam Ahankaram Nashoshasi Vinangshasi. Mad of me, Chitta, being in consciousness, Sarva, all Durgani impediments, Matprasadat, by my mercy, Tadishyasi, you will overcome Ata Bhachet, if Twam, you, Ahankarat, by false ego, Na Shroshasi, do not hear, Vinangshasi, you will be lost. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, being yourself the doer and controller and owner, not hearing me, you will be lost. Well, you got a choice. Purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think of himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws, but as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, but a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. So, of course, acting in Krishna consciousness means the foundational principles, the four regulated principles, which if you don't follow, then you will be manifesting Kali or channeling Kali. We have the same channeling where people can channel ghosts. Well, you can channel Kali by breaking the regulated principles. And sometimes we see that, you know, someone who even does something simple like drinking beer, they're actually channeling Kali. Or intoxication, illicit gambling. It's all mode of ignorance anyway. So that's basic foundational. Of course, chanting the holy names, which is the most important aspect of Krishna consciousness, and then having some practical engagement in Krishna consciousness and pleasing Krishna's representative and spiritual master. So in this way, one can be free. Otherwise, one will be lost. What does it mean to be lost? Well, it means you may lose your human form of life. As they say, use it or lose it. So, next verse. Yadahankaram ashritya ayotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritis tvam yokshati. Yet, if ahankaram, a false ego, ashritya, taking shelter, nayotsye, I shall not fight. Iti, thus, manyase, you think. Mitya esha, this is all false. Vyavasaya ha, determination. Te, your prakriti, material nature. Twam, you. Niyokshati, will engage. If you do not act according to my direction, do not fight. Of course, this is in reference to Arjuna, who should be fighting at this point. Then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. What Krishna is saying here is that every one of us have a particular nature, and generally those natures are the Brahman, the Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. We've gone over that before, and actually in this chapter, we find the qualities of all four of them. Previously, we read that. You know, Brahmana is by nature inclined to study and preach and perform sacrifice, etc. And a Kshatriya is by nature inclined to protect others and administrate. And a Vaishya is inclined to make money and to take care of cows. And a Shudra is inclined towards little artistic things and stuff like that, and work. So, if one doesn't follow their nature, let's say you make a choice, I'm a Kshatriya and I want to be a Brahmin, then what happens is you can be trying to be a Brahmin, but the Kshatriya nature will come out. As we mentioned yesterday in that story of Parshuram and Karna, Karna's Kshatriya nature came out because he was able to tolerate that horrible insect that was actually eating at it. But not only that, let's take a story or tell a story about Arjuna. Arjuna one time was meditating. Of course, he was meditating to get weapons and to get the mercy of Lord Shiva. So as he was meditating, a big boar, that means not a boring person, that's worse than a boar, anyway, a big pig with tusks on him, wild pig, was going to attack Arjuna and kill him. So Arjuna took out his bow and arrows and swiftly fired an arrow at the boar. At the same time, someone else fired an arrow at the boar. He was a hunter, a Karata, means a low-class hunter. And so Arjuna said to the hunter, okay, I killed the boar, you can take him and do whatever you want with him because you're a Muchi. And the hunter said, no, I killed the boar. And Arjuna said, no, I killed the boar. And so there was this argument back and forth, back and forth. Now, if someone was a Brahmin, they would naturally say, you know, thanks, so who cares who killed the stupid boar? It's dead. You know, that's the main thing. I don't need the credit for killing a boar. I got better things to do with my life. Just like we heard the story this morning when Rupa Goswami was approached, and Sanatan Goswami were approached by this person who was challenging them to a debate. They didn't want to waste their time, so they just signed a certificate called the Jayapatra that indicated that they lost the debate just to get rid of the creep. So that's Brahman. You just want to get rid of someone. All right, you win, goodbye. But a Kshatriya is not like that. So Arjuna started, getting back to the story, Arjuna started fighting with this low-class hunter, and he lost the fight. You're wondering, how can a low-class hunter beat me? And then Arjuna began to worship Lord Shiva in his mind, and actually practically, and put a garland on a deity, a linga of Lord Shiva, and he discovered the hunter had that garland, and then he discovered that the hunter was Lord Shiva. So the moral of the story is that Arjuna, by his nature, was forced to fight. You know, you can't deny your nature. It's going to come out. Don't suppress it. Don't repress it. And Prabhupada explains that in the purport. Arjuna was a military man and born of the nature of the Kshatriya. Therefore, his natural duty was to fight. But due to false ego, he was fearing that by killing his teacher, grandfather, and friends, he would incur sinful reactions. Actually, he was considering himself the master of his actions, as if he were directing the good and bad result of such work. He forgot that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present there. And Krishna proved it to him, universal form, and so many other ways, instructing him to fight. That is the forgetfulness of the conditioned soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives directions as what is good and what is bad, and one simply has to act in Krishna consciousness to attain the perfection of life. And you sort of forget, oh, Krishna gave me that direction. Krishna said, no intoxication. Huh. That's Krishna. No one can ascertain his destiny as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, as the Supreme Lord can. Therefore, the best course is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and act. No one should neglect the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the order of the spiritual master who is the representative of God. One should act unhesitatingly to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will keep one safe under all circumstances. Text 60. Svabhava jena gunteya nibadasvena karmana kartum nichasi yanmohat karishyasya vasho pitat. Svabhava jena, born of your own nature, Kuntiya, son of Kunti, nibadaha, conditioned, svena, by your own karmana, activities, kartam, to do. Na, not ichasi, you like, yet that which, mohat, by illusion, kurishasi, you will do. Avashasa, involuntarily, api, even tut, that. Translation, under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. So it's not by the work born of Arjuna's karma, because Arjuna doesn't have any karma, he's a devotee of the Lord. But it's the nature of the body he has. You know, we all have a particular type of body that is best acclimated to doing a particular type of work. All of us. You know, the body's designed in a certain way. Like certain animals are designed to have claws and, you know, capture their prey. Human beings are not designed to eat meat. It's a fact, because the intestines are too long, the teeth are not sharp enough, the stomach acid is not strong enough. So you're not designed to eat meat. Remember that. So, anyway, apart from that, even if you're a devotee, each body is designed to do a different thing. It's like machines. The body's a machine. For example, I wouldn't take a Volkswagen Bug. Whoops. My phone keeps asking me things. I'm turning the phone off. So I wouldn't take a Volkswagen Bug and put it into the Indy 500 race. That would be stupid if I were to do that. Someone's chatting. It better be good. Can everybody else hear me? Because the microphone says that it's very loud. Someone else send a message. Can you hear me? Yeah, everybody else is hearing fine. That's your phone, Radhasundari. Not mine. Under illusion. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So we're forced to act according to our own nature. And so that's, we have a machine, that's what I was discussing. If you have a particular type of machine, which the body is described as a machine, it's made to do a certain thing. The computer, now someone else is sending the chat, please. Okay, no more chats unless it's a problem. So, backtrack. So just like I have a computer, which is a machine. Now, I can't use the computer to drive to the supermarket. I use a car to drive to the supermarket. That's a no-brainer. So every human being has a machine body that is best suited to do a particular type of work. So, all right. So, purport. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes, which is what we already said, by the modes which he's already situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. In other words, whatever nature you have, do that which is in accordance with your psychophysical nature, but do it for Krishna. That's all. You can be an artist for Krishna, a preacher for Krishna, an administrator for Krishna, a businessman for Krishna. So the next text is actually very important. Ishvara sarva bhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati ramayan sarva bhutani antra rudani maya. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, sarva bhutanam, of all living entities, rit Deshe, in the location of the heart, O Arjuna, Tishtati resides, Ramayan, causing to travel, Sarvabhutani, all living entities, Yantra, on a machine, Arudani, being placed, Mayaya, under the spell of material energy. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So he's directing us as the super soul according to our desire, giving us, what do we remember from texts from the 15th chapter of the Gita, text 15, Matak Smritir Ganam Aponam Cha. It's giving us intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness and direction. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or he himself, Krishna, as the localized Supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the Supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this Supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves, and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the super soul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car. I mentioned that earlier with my Volkswagen example. You wouldn't race a Maserati. Though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desire. Just figure out what type of body you got. Practical. For example, certain cars, they take a high grade of petrol, and other cars or trucks, they take diesel, and others are electric. It's obvious. You know, for example, you know, I have a Tesla. No, I don't have a Tesla. Sorry. This is my Prius. So anyway, I have a Prius. So the Prius, what does the Prius take? It takes a combination of gas, which charges the electric batteries. So previously, I had a car that was a diesel car many years ago. And it took diesel fuel. So every type of car is different. Every type of living entity is different. Every type of body is different. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. And now we're getting close to the surrender verse. This is also a surrender verse, too. Tameva shadanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam tamanta him eva certainly sharanam gacha surrender sarvabhavena in all respects bharata son of bharata tat prasadat by his grace param transcendental shantim peace stanam the abode prapsyasi you will get shashvatam eternal. O sign of bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Pretty good promise. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end, he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, Rig Veda 1:22:20. We quoted this before as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Surya. Since all of the creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Param Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky, or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sannivishtaha. Remember? That's the verse I just made reference to a few minutes ago, 15:15. That's where it says that the Lord gives you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation that one should surrender unto the super soul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has already been accepted as Arjuna, as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma Param Dhamma. Remember that? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Aham Vibhu. He said, I accept you as the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode, Supreme Person, Transcendental Person. And he says, Ahustvam Rishyak Sarve, that I accept you as this, and actually Prabhupada is saying the same thing in the purport. I'll just read Prabhupada's purport. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas. We're getting close. Iti te jnanam akya tam guyad guyataram maya vimrishyai tad she shena yata chasi yate chasi tatha kuru. Iti thus, te, unto you, jnanam, knowledge, gyatam, describe guyat, and confidential guyataram, still more confidential, maya, by me. Vimrasha, deliberating a tat on this, asheshena, fully, yata, as ichasi, you like tatha that kuru perform. This is actually an important verse. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. In other words, Krishna is giving him the choice. He said, I've given you this knowledge, your choice. You choose. I'm not forcing you to do it. I'm not going to employ any more guilt trips on you. Do it. Or not do it. It's up to you. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta, that means understood that he's Brahman. Condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. Brahma-Bhuta-Prasanatman, Nishauchati-Nakangshati, Samaksarveshu-Bhuteshu-Madbhakti-Lavate-Param. That's exactly what that verse says. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yate chasi tata kuru. As you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. But by right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Why is it not for the interest of the Supreme? Because he doesn't need us to do anything. He's independent. Anything he wants gets done. But we have the choice to actually be part or engage in his service. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. And text 64. Sarva guyatamam bhuya shunume paramam vachaka ishtosi me dridam miti tato vakshyami te hitam. Sarva guya tamam. The most confidential of all, bhuya, again, shrinu, just here, me, from me. Paramam, the supreme vachaha instruction, ishtahai, see, you are dear. Me, to me, dridam, very, iti, thus, tata, therefore. Vakshyami, I am speaking te for your hitam benefit. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Now, you may think, Krishna speaks to his dear friend, but what about me? You know, why is Arjuna getting all this mercy? Well, because Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshos dinapriya. I'm equal to everybody. So Arjuna is approaching Krishna, is situated eternally as Krishna's friend. And you can do or be in the same situation. Yeah. It's not that Arjuna is the only friend of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited friends. Krishna has unlimited mothers and fathers. Krishna has unlimited girlfriends too. Krishna has unlimited servants. Krishna has unlimited worshipers. You choose. You want to be Krishna's friend, then Krishna will reciprocate with you in the same way he's reciprocating with Arjuna. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the Supersoul within one's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge, just surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the ninth chapter, he has said, Manmana, just always think of me, put your mind on me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but one who is actually dear, very dear to Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. And here is an extremely important verse that mirrors the verse in the ninth chapter. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mami vashasi sachyam te pratijina pratijine priyosime mat manaha, thinking of me, bhava, just become, mat bhaktaha, my devotee, matyaji, my worshipper, mam unto me, namaskuru, offer your obeisances, mam unto me, eva, certainly, asyasi, you will come, sachyam, truly, te, to you, patijane, I promise, priyaha, dear, asi, you are made to me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So Krishna's promise. Krishna's not going to break his promise. Just think of Krishna in terms of thinking of Krishna, Krishna's service, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's philosophy. And devote yourself and think of Krishna in a loving way and serve Krishna and be respectful of Krishna. And then that's all you got to do. No problem. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all of his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. That's what I just said. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sangita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So then if you take this, let's say, absolute statement, then if every devotee took this as an absolute statement, then, and followed it, of course, then Lord Vishnu would have no devotees, Narayan would have no devotees, Lord Ram would have no devotees, Lord Bharat would have no devotees, Lord Nrsimhadev would have no devotees. They'd all just go to Krishna Loka. However, everybody has a particular worshipable aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that's their eternal worshipable aspect. But Prabhupada here is revealing that he is a devotee of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's exhibiting his ecstatic, let's say, meditation and concentration and ecstasy, for lack of a better word, to show us his position. But that doesn't mean that someone who's a devotee of Ram is just like doing something, violating Prabhupada's instructions. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had amongst his associates some devotees of Lord Ram, like Sri Vallabha Anupama, who is Rupa and Sanatana's brother. And Rupa and Sanatana try to convince Sri Vallabha to worship Krishna and not chant Sita Ram so much. And Sri Vallabha, he refused, couldn't do it. And, you know, there were other devotees, too, who are like that, just completely devoted to a particular aspect of the Lord. You know, either Lord Nrsimhadev, they were devotees of Lord Nrsimhadev, Nrsimhananda Brahmachari, for example, amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates. So, therefore, this is not like an absolute statement that one is not allowed to meditate or concentrate in any other form of the Lord, but Prabhupada is actually showing his own mood, his own ecstatic manifestation by this statement. So next is perhaps I think it's the most famous verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam purichasya, mami kam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Sarva dharmam, all varieties of religion, purichasya, abandoning mam, unto me, ekam only sharanam, for surrender, braja go, aham I, tvam you, sarva, all papebhyaha, from sinful reactions, mokshayishyami, will deliver, ma do not shuchaha, worry. Abandon all varieties of religion, and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Now, let me just explain what's going on here. It says, sarva dharman purichasya. This doesn't mean that if you happen to be a Christian or Jew or Muslim, abandon it. It means abandon something that is not dharma, that is not real dharma, that is like apadharma, upadharma. In other words, what does the word dharma mean? Dharma means that which sustains something, which is an inherent, inseparable quality of something. Like Prabhupada gave the example, the dharma of fire is heat and light. You know, it's an inseparable quality. It's part of the nature of something. Like the dharma of us, what is our dharma? Our dharma is jivata swarupoi nitya Krishna. That's we're eternal servants of Krishna, of God. Krishna, or any one of God's names. So this is not what Krishna is saying here, to give up the eternal dharma, sanatan dharma, but try to understand that temporary, let's say, things that we think, like my dharma is to be a member of this particular family, or my dharma is to be an American. That's what Krishna is advising right here. Not to give up permanent or eternal aspects of your religion. I mean, your religion teaches you to be good. Your religion teaches you to honor the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the house of bondage, you know, whatever. Your religion teaches you do not kill. So don't think that you should give up all those things. You give up things that are not eternal. So every religion teaches about something eternal, and every religion sometimes has the non-eternal aspects, and those can be accepted or rejected according to whether it supports the eternal aspects. But if it goes against the eternal aspects, just like in the case of Arjuna, his sentimentality, what he thought was his dharma in relationship with his grandfather, was interfering with the actual eternal dharma. And that's really what's being addressed here. It doesn't mean give up all religions. All religions that are pseudo-religions or religions, that aspects of religion that actually are not eternal or don't support eternal sanatana dharma. Of course, sanatana means eternal, eternal dharma. So abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Famous verse. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of knowledge, knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Super Soul, knowledge of different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should simply give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. So what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? Do what Krishna wants. That's all. Very simple. Very, very simple. And what does Krishna want, basically, in this Kali Yuga? Kalo nishteva 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 gataranyata. Chant Krishna's names. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. Harinam, eva kevalam. That's the only way. It's the only way to chant Krishna's name and to give others Krishna's names. In the seventh chapter, it is said, we skipped. Hold on a second, sometimes it does that. I didn't even go. Here it is. In the seventh chapter, it said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically free. Wow. Quick and easy step. There is no need of strenuous effort to free one from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender to him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyati vishvaso gotrutve varanam yutata atmani anikshepa karpanye sadvita sharanagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, then all of his activities are in vain. So the whole point is, what is the goal? We should always be thinking, what is the goal of my life? To become Krishna conscious and accept or reject things, which we described previously as renunciation, based upon that goal. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. Of course, use your intelligence too. It's nothing you just like. Eat any damn thing, avoid exercise, jump off a cliff. You know, Krishna sees to that by giving you intelligence. Remember 15:15? Matakshmriti or Jnanam Povanam Chai gives you intelligence, and you should use that intelligence. That's also coming from Krishna. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna as the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation, and the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because it's all attractive, remember? Krish, attract. Na, give you happiness or ecstasy, which is short for Ananda. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the super soul feature. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, that means people who work yogis, and they don't necessarily do work for Krishna. Empiric philosophers, that means philosophers who consider things that they can see with their senses or with extended senses, such as the scientific instruments. Mystics and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, Mahasya Jaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. In other words, just make the goal of being Krishna conscious and loving Krishna as your supreme goal, and then accept those things, the religious forms that help you, and the religious forms that don't help you. I mean, if it helps you to go to church on Sunday, do it. Who's going to argue with that? In other words, the first rule, first regulated principle, is always remember Krishna. Second regulated principle is never forget Krishna. And based on that, you have to have some discrimination. So you may go to church, you may go to the temple, you may go to mosque. Doesn't matter. If it helps you come to the point of remembering God. And of course, remembering God means also following His directions, remembering His directions. Please do not kill. Idam te nata pashkaya na bhaktaya kadachana na chashu shu shaveva cham na chamam yo yasu yati. Idam this te vayu na never atapashkaya to one who is not austere na never abhaktaya to one who is not a devotee. Kadachana, at any time, na, never, cha, also, ashu, shu, shere, to one who is not engaged in devotional service, va, chum, to be spoken, na, never, cha, also, mam, toward me, ya, anyone who, avyasu, yati, is envious. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. So, why do we distribute Bhagavad Gita then? If we're not supposed to, because a devotee, in one sense, is more merciful than the Lord. He takes a chance. Because we understand that sometimes you give people the knowledge, it just makes them angry or envious. It said that upadesho hi murkanam. When you give a foolish person good instruction, sometimes it makes them really angry. I've experienced that in many, many cases. So, but we take chances. Because we feel so much compassion that we're ready to risk ourselves, even violating this instruction of Krishna. So, out of compassion. So persons who have not undergone the austerities of the religious process, who have never attempted devotional service in Krishna, who have not tended a pure devotee, and especially those who are conscious of Krishna only as an historical personality or envious of the greatness of Krishna should not be told this most confidential part of knowledge. It is, however, sometimes found that even demoniac persons who are envious of Krishna, worshipping Krishna in a different way, take to the profession of explaining Bhagavad Gita in a different way to make business. But anyone who desires actually to understand Krishna must avoid such commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And there's so many commentaries like that. Actually, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is not understandable to those who are sensuous. So, however, if someone gets the Bhagavad Gita, if someone hears the holy name, if someone gets some prasadam, they gradually get purified. And of course, if someone gives up eating meat, they gradually become purified so they can understand. Even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined in the Vedic scriptures, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee of Krishna, but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he also cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who envy Krishna because he has explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the supreme and that nothing's above him or equal to him. We'd all like to be like him. There are many persons who are envious of Krishna. Such persons should not be told the Bhagavad Gita, where they cannot understand. There's no possibility of faithless persons understanding Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. Without understanding Krishna from the authority of a pure devotee, one should not try to comment upon Bhagavad Gita. So, because a devotee is very merciful, he sticks his neck out to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Very important point. I think we should end now because we covered a lot of ground and we're almost finished, but we have some very important verses to talk about. I guess in the next day or two. So let us take some preguntas. Preguntas means questions in Spanish, in case you don't know Spanish. And respuestas means answers. So hold on a second. We are allowing you to unmute yourselves now. So who has a question who doesn't normally ask questions? We got to give some people, different people, opportunities. So we covered a lot of grounds today in the Bhagavad Gita, a lot, a tremendous amount. So, questions? Questions? Anyone ask questions? I do not see anyone. Oh my God. Sita, you have a question.
Yes, just on the last point, Guru Maharaj, does that violate the 10 offenses that we, one of the offenses, like when we offend.
Struck the glories of the Lord to the
faithless. Yes. So,
what's the question?
So the question is like, we don't, like, does that violate that, like, we're not supposed to instruct the glories of, you know, chanting to someone who doesn't have faith?
Well, what happens is if we're giving a public lecture or distributing books, inevitably we're going to be instructing the glories of the Lord to the faithless. I mean, there's no way out of it. But on an individual basis, we should ascertain who we are speaking to. Now, by faithless, in that particular context, that particular offense on chanting, means those who will blaspheme, those who will criticize, those who will become more envious of Krishna by hearing it. So, yes, obviously, we should ascertain on an individual basis. Let's say I'm talking to someone individually, someone sitting right before me. I will try to understand where they're at. In other words, where they're at means what their consciousness is like. There's a question here in the chat. What their consciousness is like, I will try to understand what their consciousness is like before speaking to them, and then I will adjust my speaking according to where they're at. But when I'm giving a general lecture, can't do that. Or when I'm distributing, let's say I have the Bhagavad Gita, we're out in the street distributing the Bhagavad Gita, I can't tear out the most confidential knowledge pages and just give them the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body. You know, you have to take a chance. But when possible, ascertain who you're speaking to. And then, I remember there have been many instances where Prabhupada was speaking to someone, and someone asked about God and said, "We're not talking about God. We're talking about science. You're not the body. You were once young. Now you're older. Then you're going to get older. This is science. This is not religion." So, you know, it just depends. On an individual basis, we should be very cautious. But on a, in a lecture or, you know, in preaching on the internet or Facebook, I mean, how can I be cautious? I'm sure some people will hear this class that I'm giving on Facebook, and they'll just, like, get envious. They'll get upset. They'll think I'm just a fanatic, you know, Hare Krishna there, cult member. Probably right. Anyways, they'll criticize me. Mm-hmm. But what can I do? That's the chance. That's the chance I have to take when I'm presenting Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I'll never bring anyone to Krishna consciousness. I'll just sit here all day long, staring at my navel or whatever. That's all. I'll have to learn Kundalini yoga like some rascals do, you know. So, and you have to just like lose my intelligence and do something like that. Anyway, we take a chance. We risk ourselves to help others come to Krishna. Otherwise, you know, there'd be nobody on the internet with me. I'd be very lonely. All right, there's a question here, a private question someone asked. They didn't want to be known. How do we balance feeling helpless, 1866, using the intelligence, 1515? Sounds like a contradiction referring to the middle path. So what that means is we feel helpless, but we also understand it's Krishna giving us the intelligence, not me. The intelligence is not coming from me. When you understand the intelligence is not coming from me, then you still feel helpless. You know, sometimes you'll get some inspiration. I understand, not from me, I'm helpless, but Krishna's giving me all this inspiration. So these are not mutually contradictory concepts or mentalities. Another question asks, and if the taste is steady, Are we to assume that we understand this point enough, that Krishna is satisfied, that we are progressing properly? No, it just means you're hopeless, so Krishna just wants to keep you going. I'm just joking with the person. If the taste is steady, are we to assume that we understand this point enough so that Krishna is satisfied, we are progressing nicely? No, the taste has to be increasing. Progressing nicely means the taste is increasing. And one of the symptoms of progressing is that sometimes Krishna takes away the taste, and then we have to struggle. Just like with the gopis, the gopis, Krishna left the gopis, and then the intensity of, let's say, longing or separation increases. So it doesn't necessarily mean, I can't say what it means in every case if the taste is steady. Or in some cases, if your taste is steady, you're doing very well. In other cases, Krishna's just trying to keep you going, and otherwise you'd fall off the cliff or something like that. And everybody's different. Everybody's different. There's another question privately. Was that the last question privately? Yeah. Yeah, that was the last question privately. So, who else? That was a private question.
Oh.
When are you getting married?
No.
I can't hear you.
So
what's your question?
Like Gurudev, now the people is more absorbed in the machines, and also the government is promoting about artificial intelligence and machine learning in education. So how in future the consciousness will get stuck with the machines and interaction with the artificial intelligence, then how the people become more God conscious?
I think right now everybody has artificial intelligence too. They're not really intelligent, it's very artificial. I'm making a play on the words, artificial intelligence. I think anything else other than Krishna conscious intelligence is artificial intelligence. Now, your question is actually different than that. Krishna has a plan. Krishna has a plan. I don't really know all the aspects of Krishna's plan. Machines, in general, Prabhupada said, they create unemployment. So people will have more free time to be nonsense. I think that's a real problem. Like nowadays, like people spend so much time on the computers, the kids spend hours and hours, I don't know what the average is, on video games. I remember even years ago when I went in to our school here and all the computers were networked for video games, and it was just like people were absorbed in video games. So I think, it appears that more and more people will be controlled and manipulated by the media, whether it's called artificial. Even now there's artificial intelligence. I'll give you an example, something that just happened to me. I want to go swimming every day. That's not artificial intelligence. But anyway, I want to go swimming every day, but it's getting cold out. So what I did, first of all, I started looking for swimming pool. I don't have a swimming pool. The neighbor has a swimming pool. Swimming pool heaters. Then all of a sudden, I was bombarded with advertisements. Every time I wanted to do something on the internet, I was bombarded with advertisements for swimming pool heaters. And then today I had another, I didn't get one. Today I had another bright idea. I thought, let me get a wetsuit. A wetsuit is like something you wear, you can go swimming. And so then all of a sudden there were all these wetsuit advertisements coming. Every time I wanted to use my computer, there were wetsuit advertisements coming at me. Even one wetsuit, which I got actually, which has a big X on the front. So my one disciple, Gopal, will be very envious of it. Because when you wear it, it looks like a superhero outfit. Anyways, But that's for swimming. I'm not in Maya. You know, I want to exercise and keep my body together. So what I'm saying is that's already artificial intelligence. And as it gets more pronounced in quantum computing, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's actually a good question. What's going to happen? I mean, it could be very destructive to humankind. Or if the Krishna consciousness movement utilizes artificial intelligence to propagate Krishna consciousness, every time someone thinks about religion, a Hare Krishna devotee pops on their screen and starts preaching to them, I think that might be good. So, I it's hard for me to say. And there's many people who are afraid of artificial intelligence. I'm not afraid of it. I just think Krishna has a plan. And we'll have to see what Krishna's plan. We just have to go along with Krishna's plan. Chant the holy names. Krishna will protect us. We're spirit souls. Artificial intelligence doesn't mean that a machine has consciousness. It simply means that a machine can emulate consciousness and do certain things better than we can. That's all. That's simply what it means. And it requires someone to program, or at least to teach the computer how to program. But every day we're surrounded by artificial, and this artificial intelligence, if you go on Facebook or any of these different social networking sites, they're manipulating your mind to consume certain things or to believe certain things. It's very insidious. But one has to be Krishna conscious, and you can protect yourself against it, all right? Don't worry, be happy. You should just make money utilizing artificial intelligence. That's your business anyway. Actually, you know, he should complain because actually he's a graduate of IIT in Delhi, the topmost technological institute in India. And he should complain about artificial intelligence. I mean, he's a graduate of one of the schools where they propagate artificial intelligence more than anywhere else. Isn't that right, Pranisha?
But I was thinking about the simple living and high thinking, but how it is not going to be practical in the future as we see the current scenario.
I don't know what's going to be practical in the future. Let's just see. I mean, I'm living very simply, and I mean, I tell you, all I ate for dinner was kasha. I'm living very simply, and I'm thinking about Krishna. My life is not very complex. People will still want to go to the farms and want to go and take shelter in rural environments. And actually, that's happening now. In America, there's a whole move of people leaving the cities and going to the country. It's actually quite prominent. Like, California has a negative population growth at this point because people want to leave California and come to some more rural environment. New York has the population growth is actually decreasing dramatically there because people are starting to realize they want more of a natural life. And I think that if we're able to influence people, if people become vegetarians, I mean, there's a lot of ifs there. I think that people will actually change. The society can change for the better. I have hopes in that, and I want to be part of the change. Okay, on that happy note, I think we should end right now, and we'll see you all tomorrow evening. We may do something a little bit different tomorrow evening because that's our Sunday program. But we'll be here, same time, same station. We may not do we may do something else just because it's the Sunday program, but it will be at the same time, same station tomorrow. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.